This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. The national sports industry has had a rough start coming into 2022. In early January, it was announced that 144 national athletes, including those who have made history for Malaysia, have been cut off by the National Sports Council due to lack of funding. Youth and Sports Minister Datuk Sri Faizal Azumu had also announced in December that the NSC has decided to reduce its number of full-time athletes from 432 to 288 this year.
And of course, the story of the former top Paralympic athlete Ko Li Peng, who is now selling tissue covers on the roadside to survive, also made its rounds, also went viral, highlighting a lack of care for our former athletes. And last week, national shuttler Li Zijia tendered his resignation from the BAM, Badminton Association of Malaysia, followed then by BAM immediately suspending Zijia for 2 years, not allowing him to compete in any international tournaments.
So many have come out to criticise this decision on Li Zijia and question what's going on with our sports industry. So what needs to be done to improve the state of the sports industry, and how can we better take care of our athletes? Joining us on the line to discuss this is sports journalist Harish Deol, the editor of news website 2213. Harish, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Can we start with the story of Li Zijia? So the Badminton Association of Malaysia has come out to say that he will be banned from international competition. What does that look like when Zijia leaves BAM? Would he have been able to compete independently if the ban wasn't in place?
Look, before I go to Li Zijia, I just want to correct one thing about Ko Li Peng. There's this outburst about, she not obtaining help. But I think she doesn't want the help. She wants to be independent. So there are two things here. And I think this has been clarified repeatedly by several people, including the former Deputy Youth and Sports Minister, Stephen Sim, and also the current administration.
Okay.
But leaping aside, Li Zijia, now back to your question about him being able to compete or not as an independent athlete. Well, he can. However, any athlete who wants to play in the BWF tournament would need to be registered by the member associate, and this member associate would be the BA of Malaysia, BAM. Now, with the BAM slapping that two-year suspension on him, it would mean that he will not be able to compete in any international competitions, thus hurting his chances of playing in the 2024 Olympics and because of the ranking system. So we hope that the suspension will not be or will eventually be lifted as conversations are being, will be ongoing either today or tomorrow.
Mm. Do we know if this type of ban has been issued by other sports associations when their athletes resign, whether in Malaysia or elsewhere?
Well, I've not heard of an athlete wanting to go professional and is indeed slapped with a ban. But in 1996, when Roslin Hashin left the BA of Malaysia, he had to pay a compensation of about 67,000 or 68,000 ringgit, but definitely not a two-year suspension. We were looking at compensation, but not a suspension per se.
Yeah, Harish, what is not clear at this point in time is the circumstances under which Zijia left BAM. What do you know about the situation?
Well, here we have an athlete who says that he wants to be a professional player. And that actually augurs well for the local sporting ecosystem, because we don't want athletes to be overly dependent on the local, as in government funding, so to speak. The idea or the concept of professionalism is for an athlete to pay his own, for his own coaches, pay for his own training, facilities and whatever that comes in between. Now, it's kind of mind-boggling, because we live in a very templated world where we believe that the government is supposed to assist us in for everything. So that's not professionalism. That's actually the concept of China, where the government spends every single thing on the athlete, and the athlete plays with the country. But if you compare this to the West, it's totally the opposite. So I think we are at the crossroads right now, and I'm glad this Li Zijia saga, is taking place or is unfolding, because it will actually show where Malaysia stands. Do we want to be overly dependent on the government, on taxpayers' money? Or are we ready to allow our athletes to be truly professionals? If they want to compete, they want to train on their own. It's everything Sindhyam Berhad, so to speak.
Harish, what is the how widespread is how many athletes are professional in Malaysia at the moment? I mean, is Lee Zi Jia the exception to the rule, or are there other instances of athletes going professional on their own and entering international tournaments without government backing?
We have quite a number of national shuttlers who have gone professional. But, you know, it's never been an issue simply because they were dropped by the national stable.
Mm-hmm.
So they are considered as the so-called, and I say in quotes, the rejects.
Mm.
So thus, they were never ever, you know, there was never an issue to begin with. However, these players have done well for themselves. And these players have shown that professionalism is or can be alive in Malaysian sports.
Okay, so there's definitely precedent. It's not like it's not been done before.
No, I mean, look, like I said, in 1996, Ruslin Hashim left the BAM and went pro. Rashid Siddiq said the same thing. So I'm quite, taken aback about his recent comments against Lee Zi Jia, because he did the same in 1996 when he left the national stable to join Nusa Mansuri.
Yeah, so what is going on here? Because it does seem as if, I mean, there are some assertions that Dijia is, waiting for seven-figure payouts from the private sector and his own personal sources from the support front. And there could be a sense that BAM is a little bit, in a way, that farewell was taken with bad medicine. So what is that? Or what does this mean for Malaysian sports if these kinds of things happen in terms of the larger picture, which is basically Malaysia's position in the pantheon of sports globally?
Right now, it's not good for Malaysian sports at all. This because what I see right now is a war of egos rather than a war of logic. Now, you ban a player and he is said to be the national's best shuttler for 2 years, that pretty much will end his career. And we are preparing for the 2024 Olympics. I think many people tend to forget that the 2024 Olympics is just 2 years away. And in fact, if you calculate it within months, it's not even 2 years to begin with. So yeah, it's bad for Malaysian sports. It's bad because globally, we are now the center of conversation, even with many shuttlers, promoting the idea of setting up a professional tour similar to what we see in tennis.
Mm.
So yeah, we are actually hogging the late headlines for the not so right reasons at this particular moment.
If we take a broader look at the sports industry overall, what do the recent culling of athletes from the National Sports Council due to funding tell us about the budget for sports in the country? I mean, what does this say about the funding that we are allocating for sports investment?
I think that also is a misconception that has to be corrected. First and foremost, there's no culling. They were dropped simply because their contracts were not extended. Now, the question is, why weren't their contracts extended? It is simply because whenever you want to do something, you have to allocate certain amount of money in the budget, in the annual budget, which was the budget 2022, as for last year. Now, the question that we should all ask is, why wasn't this podium program, the program for the elite athletes, allocated in that particular budget? Was there a massive oversight? Was it a situation whereby the parties concerned, believe that just because the government had spent billions on COVID-19 and at that time there was no flood relief yet, so they thought that, oh no, definitely the country would not have any money, so let's not submit our proposal. Mm-hmm. So that actually is, to me, it was more of an administrative flaw rather than anything else. Now, once again, the Ministry of Finance should have actually opened their eyes and asked, just because a particular budget does not come in, you just accept it and just carry on with life. I mean, there must be some form of check and balance in the sense that why was there an allocation for the previous year and why not this year?
Yeah, but
so
Harish,
equally,
right? The government has thrown lots of money at the national athletes in the last 20, 30 years, right? But we have yet to win anything beyond a silver medal in the Olympics, and we haven't gone to any international tournaments with any significant placing in the last 10, 20 years. Is there elements of collective responsibility here with athletes themselves? Could they have been doing more or get themselves more right for the role?
Look, it's collective responsibility across the board, whether it's the athletes, whether it's the officials. Now, you speak about not being able to, we've pumped in so much of money, used so much of taxpayers' money, and we've not gone anywhere, pretty much. Look, how much of that money is going to schools? We are just doing the same thing over and over again. And if you were to blame the athletes, that's an easy way out. But the athletes are the best that we have at the moment. We are not investing in the right places. We are not investing in schools. When we talk about sports, we only talk about the elite athletes. The conversation right now is so focused about Li Jijia and the elite athletes. But what about budgets for talent development?
All right.
No one is having those conversations. We are so fixated about the podium program. Once again, what about development?
Fair point indeed, Harish. Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning. That was Harish Dhill, editor of news website 2213, weighing in on the Li Zijia and Badminton Association of Malaysia saga, as well as the broader issues in our sports industry and what needs to be done if we are really serious about making Malaysia a sporting nation. I think there are just too many loopholes at the moment for us to even consider that for now. Lots of questions that remain unanswered.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.